Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us. What a game last night. Why is it? I mean, what's the guy that...
It actually was a really fun game.
It was a great game.
Well, not for the first hour.
Who's the New York actor that just...
Nick Turturro.
Nick Turturro. What is the deal? Even mediocre.
Is he still doing videos?
Oh, yeah. He did it last night.
About the Astros?
It doesn't matter. It's not a cheating team. It's not a great team. It's a mediocre team. And they still own us. What the... I mean, mm-hmm. he was crying. It was so good. So good. Boy, they do. They own the Yankees. They just own the Yankees. For whatever reason, all these years, the Astros just love hitting in that place. That little bandbox is such a... If Yordan hit there every day, holy crap. No wonder Judge had 60 homers. That little bandbox, are you kidding? Didn't the first Yiner homer didn't even look like he got it.
No, it didn't. And the second homer did, though.
Yeah,
that was a pretty good shot the other way.
Yep.
Yeah, to hit it that far the other way,
yeah,
that was pretty good. You know, it's so hard.
But it's the shortest right field.
Yiner had a double after that. Yeah. You had, like, it was, if you turned on the game when it was 5-5, you would think the Astros were one of the best hitting teams that has played in baseball over since 2020.
You would be right.
I mean, they were ripping the ball. Yordan, and that's probably the first time ever that I've ever seen a triple for Yordan. It was just a shot between center and right field. He just hit a line drive between center and right, and it turned into a triple.
Yeah.
He hit it so hard,
neither guy could get to it.
Yeah, but I was just surprised. I mean, Yordan tripled. Cam Smith tripled. You had hard hit. Cam had a hard hit ball, too, but Cam can really run.
Oh, my God. But, well, what about Jeremy scoring on the double?
Yeah,
I mean, Jeremy. Even if he gets to it right away, Jeremy's scoring.
Oh, it wasn't even close. Jeremy was rolling, too, so... The Astros, basically, it was 5-5, and the Astros put up, what was it, six? No. They had, six runs over the last four innings the Astros scored?
They scored, yeah, two in the sixth, three in the eighth, and one in the ninth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went to work, and no, it's not like the Yankees weren't hitting. The Yankees were right there. Yep. The Astros needed a Jeremy Pena play as a hard hit ball up the middle. Pena scooped it up, threw the runner out at home. That was a big one. And then, the biggest moment was a double play. Brian Abreu was getting himself in major trouble, and they turned a double play there.
Yep.
And that wiped out another potential threat because it looked like the Yankees were just going to come right back and just whack the Astros and get the lead back.
That was fun. That was like a softball game. That was fun. It was, you know what, a lot of hitting. Yeah, Abreu he got lit up early on, and then that double play turned it around. And the Astros just kept coming up with clutch hit after clutch hit. Yiner was great, two homers and a double. Yordan had three hits. Altuve had two hits. He continues to kill them. Varsho had a big two-out hit. He had a couple of hits. I think he had two. And a big two-out hit early on that scored an RBI single. So it was, two for five last night. That was fun. That was just good. And it's just so, oh, my gosh.
Pecco's not very good.
It's his second ever start at the Yankee Stadium.
Four walks, one strikeout.
It's his second ever start.
I didn't know why after the game was over.
Greg Maddux got sent down. I don't know if you heard. Yeah. Okay.
After the match was over on the pitch, the Space City, they actually interviewed him, and he's smiling. I'm like, why would y'all interview? This guy didn't have a good outing. Like, why are we sticking a mic in his face? Was that what it was?
His birthday, yeah.
Happy birthday. So that was fun, right? I have four walks and a strikeout. Yeah. He didn't say that. Well, I had the volume
down.
He's
facing the New York Yankees in his second ever start. And, well, he's not very good. What?
No.
My goodness.
You're right. I agree with you.
Yeah. No.
Was that your statement?
That was your statement.
Oh, because you just said, Dell cut that where he said, you're not very good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And Jeremy Branham had another hot take yesterday.
What did he do this time?
Oh, my God. He did a video. They talked about it on the show, and then he did a video. And KJ 100% agrees with him. And it's just like he retweeted, and I 100% agree with this. He says that Jim Crane is Jerry Jones and Jeff Bagwell is Jack Easterby. And he goes, well, of course Jeff Bagwell has a lot more credentials and, you know, he's done a lot more. Well, okay, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, he might know more baseball than you. Not sure. You know, Jack Easterby didn't know football, shouldn't have been in that position, had no business. He was just a snake oil salesman, and he worked his way up. He got into the ear of the owner, and then he was making decisions for an organization. Jeff Bagwell, I'll tell you, one of the greatest memories that I've ever had. I'm serious. This is in covering sports. We it was after a game. I was in the locker room every night. I was doing the Astros pre and post game shows, right? And I was in the locker room every night. Those were some great teams. It was 2003 or 4 or whatever. It was at Minute Maid Park. And everybody's gone, and it's just Bagwell and Brad Ausmus. And I'm in there, and Brad Ausmus goes, look at this locker room. All you guys are gone. Nobody's here. You guys used to be that the media would sit around with the players. And Brad's got a gigantic, gigantic bottle of vodka. I mean, it's the biggest bottle of vodka you've ever seen, mm-hmm. right? And every night they'd open the drawer underneath the locker, and they'd take it out, and they'd pour their vodka and cranberry or whatever it was that they were drinking. And he's got his bottle of vodka, and I go, well, if you'd offer somebody a drink, I'd sit around with you guys. And he goes, you want a drink?
Well, wait, what was his point?
His point
it used to be the media.
He said, it used to be. Look at all you media guys. You know, you don't want to sit around. You don't want to talk. You don't want to get to know guys. You don't want to get to know the game. And I was like, well, I'm right here. If you offer a drink, I'll sit with you. And he goes, well, you want one? I said, yeah. So we sat and we watched the Dodger game in the dugout. Me, Bagwell, and Ausmus. And I want to tell you, it's the most I ever learned watching baseball.
Yep.
Jeff Bagwell is watching a hitter from another team, and he goes, watch this. This is going to be a splitter right here. Watch this. And it was like, holy crap. I was like, he goes, now watch. He's going to waste this pitch. It's going to be a slider down on the way. But it was amazing, amazing. And I was like, holy crap. These guys know so much baseball.
I mean, what he had
to
great.
Compare Jeff Bagwell to Jack Easterby is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, you may not like that, but what about what Sean has taken to call in Jeff Bagwell, Rasputin?
Jeff Bagwell made bad moves. There's no way around it. Montero, Javier signing, Abreu signing, they were bad moves. There's no question. Jeff Bagwell likes baseball people. The Astros were built on analytics. Jeff Bagwell knows more baseball. And maybe he made some bad. Every general manager makes some bad news. Okay, that. But to call him Jack Easterby, the dumbest crap I've ever heard.
It really is. I mean, look. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, Jeff Bagwell is a legend, living legend here. Whether you want to give him or Altuve best Astro of all time, however you want to do that,
or Biggio.
Biggio.
Mm-hmm.
If he stayed away from baseball decisions, he could just show up. Do a couple games where he's hanging out with Todd and Jeff, or excuse me, Jeff Blum.
Yeah.
You know, wave to the crowd. Jeff Bagwell's in attendance. Wave to the crowd, and you're good. But when you dip your toe in this, and the team isn't good, I'm not blaming it all on him, but when you're prominently mentioned in a press release after the general manager is gone, and people are mentioning how maybe Brad Ausmus could be here because you're good buddies, all this stuff.
Or maybe John Granato, since you're apparently... You could end up being on
all
the
this
thing,
stuff
too,
leads to people
together
forgetting about all the things you did on the field.
He may be in charge of the minor league system.
Sure, right? I don't know what John's got in store for himself.
I got nothing
but
in store.
When you do
I'm saying this, If listen, there's plenty of guys who played baseball, and then Larry Bird coached, Kareem, all of these guys. They wanted to be part of baseball after it was done, and they put themselves on the line. You okay, Jeff Bagwell, just show up. No, Jeff Bagwell wants to put his name on the line and say, I can, yes, you know what, no. I can help that, you and the, your team be better.
Look, I don't think
and Jeff, it doesn't always work out.
Jeff should not be part of
I'm
the
just
baseball
telling you right
stuff.
Now.
I think it's past. I think that, but he's going to, like, Jeff is hurting his legacy with Astros fans. With that and his decision making, I don't think it's right for the Astros. I don't. However, Jeff Bagwell is earnest in his intentions.
Yes.
Jeff Bagwell is trying. Jeff Bagwell wants to be part of it. Jeff Bagwell, I mean, to say that's just so outrageous. To say Jack Easterby was a fake and a fraud from the beginning. Jack had a fake. He had a fake resume that he had that a local media member caught early, and then Jack, like, begged the guy not to expose him, and so, you know, there was an exchange of, okay, you have to give me intel, and then I'll keep your secret. Like, Jack was a Jack was a guy who was literally a snake oil salesman.
Yes, literally.
And, who didn't know anything about the. So it is outlandish, and he was a guy who was openly stabbing people in the back,
yes.
Was plotting and planning. The little finger thing is just for Easterby, yes. For Jeff is just, you know, Jim
Jeff
Crane is just
trying
trust
to help the team.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's done a good job, yes. Listen, Elgin Baylor oversaw the worst organization in history of sports. He's one of the best basketball players ever. But he put himself on the line as a general manager, and he sucked at it. This happens. Jack Easterby, are you kidding me?
What does this mean, Dell? He's more like Varus, but instead he let his balls control him. What does that mean?
Well, Varus famously got that stuff removed.
Yeah, his nuts chopped off.
I know. Why would anyone say that about him?
We're
why
getting
would
lost
they give him a
in, sure, the takes of Branham.
He's more like a brat.
We're getting lost in that. He said what he said, whatever. But the problem is people are not going to care about what Jeff Bagwell did, even if he is. I'm not disputing what you're saying. Ernest, he wants this team to win. He's not the guy that Easterby is. So there's no question about that. But when it comes down to it, because most people don't know these people or don't have that type of insight, all they see is you're ruining my baseball team.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I get it.
Well, but
you know what?
He played a long time.
What ruined
ago.
The baseball team? Period. Was Jeff Luhnow being gone? That ruined the baseball
well,
team.
James
period.
Click may have.
He's
been
the
able.
Best general manager. You know, I don't know that there's a better one in baseball to work with what he did to build the organization the way he did and all of that he did. He's the foundation of this organization, and Jeff and Jim Crane trusted him. He actually had to push him, push him a little harder to make deals that he didn't want to, you know, didn't want to go over the top with Verlander. Jeff Luhnow set a standard here that you just can't. And by the way, it ain't easy, 10 years in, to keep this thing going. You know, it's extremely difficult, and especially with the constraints of being not one of the top three spenders in baseball. They're a top eight spender.
Mm-hmm.
They're a top eight spender, and people are pissed because Jim is Ebenezer Scrooge.
I mean, I don't like hearing that anymore because just, you know, a lot of that money is dead.
Well, how about if they made the right, if Dana made the right decisions about pitching instead of all the wrong decisions about pitching?
Right, but still, I mean, still the. Yes.
Well, what,
yes.
Look at Tampa.
Well, but see, Dana's.
Look at Milwaukee.
But John,
they don't have the payrolls.
Dana's gone. He's never gotten rid of Jeff Bagwell. That's a little different. You know, Jeff Bagwell's in the middle of a lot of that stuff,
yeah.
too. We don't
yeah.
even know how much, including one of the terrible signings. And Dana loses his job. Jeff is more of a consultant. I mean, I don't even think – look, I think the Jeff Bagwell resurrection story is phenomenal, and most people don't really pay attention to it. But Jeff had a real problem with alcohol, and he beat it.
Yep.
And he's sober now. And I think it's, you know – for a lot of us, hearing him talk in public, like the day he found out he was going to the Hall of Fame, it was sad. It was just sad. And this version is a really cleaned up version. I bought him I was so stupid. I didn't think about it. I bought him and his table. He was at Riel, and I saw him. He had made it in the Hall of Fame, and I I asked to send a bottle of wine over to their table. And then he said, you know, and I guess they came back and said, oh, well, Mr. Bagwell said he's not, you know, they're not drinking wine, but they'll take a dessert, something like that. And so I sent that over, and then he came over and said thank you. And it was, I completely forgotten he had gotten himself sober, but it was like, I just wanted to say, you know, congratulations. You. No. But also, I was just so impressed that Bagwell had beat it.
So you sent him over some wine.
And, yes, I sent him over some wine.
Lance would see Hunter Biden in a restaurant sent him over some crack.
Person.
Let's see how what tough you really are.
Way worse than anything I've ever done.
Do you want to enable any other famous people dealing with substance abuse issues?
Yeah.
I know.
Well, yeah. Why don't you send Robert Downey Jr. a bag of Coke?
I have an issue with diabetes.
Okay, well, here's the
Cinema Sunday. Somebody with diabetes, I'm sending desserts to their table.
That's the worst.
It wasn't intentional, but I did do it. But I was just, you know, I'm really impressed with all that. As a baseball player, you know, we know he's a Hall of Famer. He's not, I don't think he's been very good in this role. But I do think he tries. I think he's earnest, and I would never compare him ever. You know, I think the Astros are going about things the wrong way. But, Jim Crane, yeah, the payroll thing, I get it. It's just very clear. Jim operates the Astros not like a baseball team, but like a business. And it's a very strict, Dubon would have made you a better baseball team. But instead, he's shaving. Robert Flores talked about it. I'm going to save some money to my bottom line. And when you do that, and you're losing your best players on a semi-annual basis, it's just tough to come back from that with the fans when it starts to inevitably it's going to catch up with you unless you know you're really great in the minor league systems or unless you can really do a good job of trading your players for talent. Who knows, maybe Dana Brown's trade for Cam Smith we'll look at that in 3 years. God, holy crap, man. Cam Smith, 33 home runs this year. You know, Dana definitely got that one right. And there's always flashes.
Yeah.
It's Cam. This is Cam's second year, you know. There's flashes. Dana's gone. But the Astros are, you know, the Astros are right now, and you even said it yesterday, they may be in a tear it down. I don't think they have to necessarily tear it. We saw what tear it down looks like. That was terrible.
Well,
I don't think they have to do that, nor do I think Jeff Leno would be. Well, I don't think Jim Crane would do that anymore. He's already tasted.
He said, I'll never lose it like that again. He said,
yeah,
that.
So, but he does need to be willing to take a couple steps back.
Yep. All right. We're just getting it started. You got any thoughts on this? You're more than welcome. 713-780.
Johnson Studio. You know what? You guys hear him so well, although you probably might not be able to tell the difference. But I didn't even know you were in studio.
I think that mic in L.A. sounds pretty good.
I think it sounds really good.
Yeah, really.
I don't know. I never hear it, but everyone says my mic is low all the time.
Yeah, right. Well, you need to speak up. I mean, you're
and then we got
certainly can speak up when you're trying to ruin guys' lives.
I know.
He
was send him over.
He was very loud with that waiter.
Very loud. And hey,
send him two bottles.
Dell, how loud do I get when I got some Coors Lights in me?
People are going to find that out on Friday night.
Oh, Friday, Thursday, tonight.
I'm not going to find it
tomorrow
out tonight.
Okay.
You're going to find it out tonight when we're at dinner with him.
No, I won't.
Yeah, tonight we're going to have dinner together with a bunch of Coors Lights.
We're
me,
good. Sean
you,
will,
and
Sean
Lance.
Will be in my
Speaking
place.
Coors Lights
Sean's
and
not
Lily.
Taking your stead.
Okay.
He's not in your stead.
Okay. Yes. It's time.
He's not your hand.
It's going to be. It's going.
He's
we're
the
all
hand
having
the producer.
A big time with Coors Lights. All right? And Dell's going to start drinking tonight. You know how?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Why are you being dishonest?
Right.
Just talk about how great Coors Light is.
Remember, I am telling him how great Coors Light is. I think you should start. I don't know. How old are you now? 80? How old are you?
Sure. I'm 80 years old. Never had a drink.
Yeah, never had a drink. But I think it's time, like Ron Washington when he started, right? It's time for you to start.
Lance would send some coke to Ron Washington.
That guy was on cocaine.
Lance
in
would
his
send
50s.
It over. Hey, Ron. Great job. Here's some coke.
He was on cocaine in his 50s.
He said
got...
it was his first time in his 50s. That's Dell.
Do you want to start
again? We're
going
to do this. No, okay. We're going to drink Coors Light.
Drink
me
Coors
and you.
Light, guys. That's the real message.
Time to talk. I'm telling you. It's time for you to start. If you never had a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, it's time.
Not like Ron Washington.
No.
Like
different. Different.
Like somebody who's in moderation.
Right. And absolutely. and you know, drink responsibly. But also, if you're going to drink, okay, like that guy said, if I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink me some Coors Light, cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. It's so hot out there. Holy crap. You know what you need? You need Coors Light. Climb on, brother. Everybody needs some Coors Light. There's going to be a bunch of them flowing at Golden Nugget this week. Coors Light.
Ran into the checker flag, ran through the ring.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 975-7378-03776. Jim Crane met the media yesterday in New York. Talk about, I mean, he said all the right things. He went and had a nice meeting with Joe Espada. He said, he talked to Joe, he said, you know what? We'll work the contract. We'll talk about the contract after the season is over, which absolutely means that Joe Espada is gone. There's no question about that. That's how. And you know what? The contract's up. You don't like it. That's tough. You know, there's so many coaches and GMs that get paid long after they left because they got fired with a bunch of years on their contract. Right. It's not the way Jim Crane operates. Jim Crane, I gave you 3 years. And you had these 3 years to show what you can do, and you didn't do it, and so it's over. And you walk away, and hopefully you – and thank you for your service, and hopefully you the rest of your life is nice. But as far as the Astros organization is, then that's it. It's over. So that's how Jim Crane operates. And it's business. It's business. I mean, people – you may not like it.
I just saw it with my friends who went to ESPN from – some of my friends who went to ESPN from NFL Network wants a contract. It could happen to me this year in summer. When your contract's up, your contract's up.
Contract's
and
up.
That happens in sports. And yeah, that's, you know, you get fired and you get paid after you get fired in sports, or your contract's up and they don't renew.
That's all. That's it. We had a contract. Contract's up. That's it.
But with Jim Crane, usually if you don't get a contract, you get to your last year. There's not a lot of people who get another contract.
We have not seen it. Maybe some relievers that they're done and then they get another contract a year or two or whatever. But all of his major players,
right,
he did early. Altuve, Bregman, Yordan. He did all of them early. Right?
Right.
And he, you know, if you're going to be part of the long term solution, or you're going to be part of the long-term plan with the Houston Astros, is if you get an extension early. Now, it's beneficial for both of you. You got guaranteed money. Yordan just wanted to make sure that he was well taken care of. He took a contract probably that regrets. Maybe he's going to regret next year and the year after. But he's like, I got guaranteed money that I knew I was set 4 years ago, and I'm okay. And I'm okay with that. Boris would never do that. Boris ain't doing. You ain't doing that with Boris.
A lot of times Latin American players, or Cuban, I mean, a lot of times there's a history where who come from poor situations. We'll take that guaranteed money. Christian Javier did that.
Even from New Mexico, where Bregman did it.
Yeah.
Bregman was like about a huge part of the organization, and they won, and he was like, hey, I need to get paid. I ain't doing you got team control crap. Right. You know, okay, we'll give you $100 million. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's different types of, but it's not bad. I mean, it's guaranteed. You're set for life.
Mm-hmm.
Should be, at least.
Yep.
But, it's just the way the Astros operate. But they won yesterday 9-7. They are up a half game. That was a big win. They are now, the Astros are now, I followed up on this after our discussion. The Astros are now, this is not correct.
What happened?
I think yesterday I saw the stat that they are 32-30 headed into that game against teams 500 or better, and 33-46. But that, They can't have that many more. That's not right. I'll have to check.
They can't be because they're a 500 team.
Yeah, I have to check up on what the actual stats are.
Yeah,
but they can't have that many more. Oh yeah, no games under 500. That's what it is. 32-30 against teams 500 or better now be it would now be 33 and 20.
Oh, 33 and 20.
33 and 20 well, against teams sense, yeah. 500 or better and 33
not 33 and 30.
33 and 46.
Yeah.
Teams makes, under
that's right.
500. So they're a 41.8 win percentage on teams under, and their win percentage is now 62.
Yeah.
A little over 62.
They play they just play better. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Well, here's the good news is you ain't going to see no under 500 teams in the postseason, so the Astros can play well against good teams. Guess what? That's good news because they're going to face good teams in the postseason.
Who do we have? Let's talk about
Eric.
Spada.
Eric wants to get in here. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Double Rod.
Hey,
quick question, John. Just like, you know, you mentioned just now about Crane and it's a business and three-year mentality, you know, and I wonder a guy like Aaron Boone, what's so special about him and some of the other longer tenure. Now, he's been there 9 years. They won last World Series was in like 2009.
Yeah.
They haven't made playoffs two of his 9 years, knocked out in wild card series, division series. They have all the talent in the world, and I feel like Espada's working with, you know, scraps here and there, no pitching staff, and he's cut and gone. And it just seems detrimental just to continually cycle guys and call it a business decision. Is it that hard to find a guy? I mean, again, Boone doesn't seem that special to me. Maybe a legend in the Yankees organization, but just expand on, like, what is so hard about finding a guy that you can really trust and run with and not blame win losses and look at, you know, records and things like that. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, fellas.
Well, I think it's the way you go up. Listen, I'll tell you, this is a great example. Like Aaron Boone and Yankee fans are like, what are we doing? Why is he still here? We haven't won at all. What's going on? Sometimes organizations really trust a guy. Chris Ballard is a great example. You know what? There's probably a lot of Colts fans that are like, wait a minute, what do we want? We haven't done anything with Chris Ballard. Yeah. You know what, though? The ownership looks at Chris Ballard and says, that is a smart dude. That dude, we believe in him. He's going to get it right. That yeah, we've had a lot of issues. We've had the issues with quarterback. Once we get that right, it's going to be great. But we believe in Chris Ballard. They believe in Aaron Boone. For whatever reason, they believe in Aaron Boone.
They believe that he's not easy. You're right. It's one thing. Everyone wants change all the time. But sometimes there are some situations where an organization says, we don't necessarily think we're getting better if we get rid of this guy. Like the Steelers famously think that with all their head coaches.
Right.
Are we better if we get rid of them? Sometimes they believe they have a good coach or a good general manager who has had some tough circumstances, whatever the case. With Boone, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get it with Boone. They clearly like him a lot. He's had a long run with some really good talent.
He must be a really sharp guy behind the scenes,
yeah,
talking baseball and telling the ownership what's going on and all of that stuff. And they just come up short. Listen, the Yankees don't have all the talent in the world. I mean, that thing about them buying World Series, that's over. That's long over. They don't have the best. They haven't put together great talent. And forever they stayed with their general manager, and now they're staying with their manager as well. I mean, there's a lot of and it's different in different places too, Eric. A lot of owners will be quick to pull the trigger. Other ones, like the Steelers, they're like, nope, we're going to stay the course. We stay the course. Jim Crane ain't a stay-the-course guy. He just ain't. He fired a general manager after he won a World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he didn't fire him. He just let him. His contract was up. You're done.
That's the same thing. Contract rolled out.
Contract was
and
up.
Some of that was a battle with Dusty. He and Dusty didn't see eye to eye, Jim Crane. And that's when they wanted to get more to the baseball eyes and less of the analytics and more of the baseball people in there, which I don't know. I mean, it's some of that has obviously been
problems. Well, the analytics is great if you've got a guy that knows what they're doing. Billy Bean. Jeff Luno.
Get some players.
There's a lot of analytics. Like, I know football people that were in analytics places that they're like, they're a bunch of idiots.
Oh.
These analytics guys are a bunch of idiots. Just because you're an analytics guy doesn't mean you're really, really smart. And you.
Well, at that sport. At roster building.
Yes, yeah. At roster
you
building.
You probably are really, really smart.
Probably. Maybe.
Not at roster
you
building.
You can analyze numbers and you can do okay doing that. Doesn't mean you know. Really right. Doesn't mean you know how to build a roster. You're not. There's a lot of, not only, there's a lot of intuition and there's a lot more that goes into it than just looking at the numbers on the page. So, Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jim Crane is just not a he's not like the Steelers. This ain't the Steelers organization. We ain't staying with you. We ain't doing that. We're gonna try to win. And if you don't win, then you got a certain amount of time and you're gone.
You know why? Because
we chase the fight.
We're chasing the fight. Okay. Do the Roonies chase the fight? No.
No.
No. Apparently they just get punched in the face. That's what they do. They ain't chasing the fight. We're chasing the fight down the street. Okay?
Are we being chased by the fight?
I don't know. We're chasing the fight, Dell. You hear it.
Because when I see them play the Angels and the A's, it feels like I'm being chased by a fight.
Yeah.
Chased by Hornets.
I mean, oh no, that juggernaut that is the A's is coming to town.
Where that thing is coming for you until since kids are headed to school, I'll just say you have to pass it along to someone else
through contact.
Yeah, it's like it follows. Like, oh, it's the A's and Angels, run! Or like Widow's Bay. Where
Lance is watching Widow's Bay.
Where the curse is constantly following, or that Jason character, basically.
Or Michael Myers. Boogeyman.
Yeah, Michael Myers.
Yeah, Michael Myers. You think he's dead. He's never dead. And every time I see the A's come in a dike, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, we can't kill
him.
No, Nick Kurtz is not there.
Even when Nick Kurtz isn't doing anything, we can't put him away. We can't kill him. The A's have owned Dyken.
No Kurtz.
The last two seasons.
All right. Let's talk about something positive, a career. Let's talk about you and your career. Maybe that's not a positive. And if you don't have a positive career going on, people, it is time for you to call the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston. They work on the grid, the electrical grid. And if you haven't heard, we got a pretty important thing here. The electrical grid is kind of important to not only this city. No, it's important to the country, the entire South, okay? South and East and West. There's three electrical grids. We got one of them. They got 4,800 members. And it's not like you're going to get lost, though, in it. You're going to get a high-paying job, right? Nationally recognized career, hands-on training, paid while you learn, okay? It might take 3 to 5 years for you to get there, but that's okay. You're going to get paid along the way, and when you get there, it's nice, okay? You got high wages, you got retirement planning, you got insurance, you got all of the stuff that you're looking for. But you know what? And you can feel great about it. IBEW66.com, IBEW66.com, powering careers, powering the future, IBEW66.com. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. We got Elliot Wolf that we'll hear from about the booty trade. Okay, not booty, not stinky booty, booty. Booty trade. Trading for booty. Kayshawn.
I think I'm just gonna call him Kayshawn.
I know. Until the booty thing. It sounds disrespectful.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
He's booty. That dude's booty. Lance says people are booty juice.
Well, yeah, and it's not complimentary. So I'll wait for the man. I'm sure New England, he has told people how to say it. Once the reporters get to talk to him and he tells me it's booty, I'll do that. But for now, it's Kayshawn Boutte.
Boutte. I like Boutte. I mean, let's be classy.
I mean, if his name is Kayshawn Boutte, then it's booty.
He said it's booty.
The French are stinky and they smoke. Okay.
And you know
but,
what?
But it's classier than calling yourself booty.
Frankly, it is. You know, it's probably got some Creole because of the French, and it is a French name, so it should be Boutte, but he says booty, we got to say booty. My name's supposed to be Zierlein. Family said we'll just say Zierlein, so I just say Zierlein. So he says booty, we got to say booty. You always say, if mama called him booty, you got to call him booty.
Mm-hmm. Dal, did you see this before we get to Elliot? Who does Josh Pate have winning it all?
Canes.
I saw that come across, and somewhere someone got to him and said, hey, you've been saying a lot of stupid stuff. Say something smart. And then he said something smart. I'm glad he came to a census.
He's been saying a lot of stupid
stuff. Someone told him he's been saying a lot of stupid stuff, and then he finally said something smart. So, cool.
He's got you beating Indiana.
In a rematch, huh? Well, I don't believe in Josh Hoover to get Indiana to a spot where they're playing for a national title again. But, hey, I'll take it anyway.
But nobody believed in Mendoza before he got there.
That's true. But I've seen a lot of Josh Hoover, and I'm like, eh. But it's Cignetti, so if he
Cignetti
don't rule him out, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to a national championship with Carson Beck, so.
Well, he had played at, started a lot and won a lot of games at Georgia, so he had played in big games before.
Yeah, he had. Elliot wants to talk a little NFL. What do you say, Elliot?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good to hear you today. I had a quick question in regards to fantasy. I know you got your draft coming up, and I've got mine. Everybody has theirs. But one thing I noticed, I'm in a couple of leagues, and they're all PPR. One thing I noticed is most teams that win, and like 90% of them all have a top receiver. Like almost every league that I'm in, that the guy that had Puka won the league last year, or Jamar Chase's a couple years ago, or CeeDee Lamb. So there's always a theory that you got to get that top running back, you got to get that top running back. But unless it's Saquon, which was 2 years ago, I think he had that 2,000-yard season or close to it. Not 2,000, but close to total yards. Most of the leagues, the winners have the Pukas, the CeeDee Lambs, the Justin Jeffersons. I don't know if you guys have seen something similar to that, or do you totally disagree?
Yeah.
It's been heavy running back in y'all's leagues. But
I won my league a couple of years ago when CeeDee Lamb had his big year. It was huge. Huge to have that kind of – I mean, I agree 100%. And I'm not sure who that's going to be.
So it's interesting because ESPN's having their mock draft, their marathon mock where they do it. And they had 10 of their first 13 picks this year are running backs. So it's made a shift based on there's not as many running backs. I was in a fantasy snake draft. Didn't pay a great deal of attention to it, but there was a run on running backs. I was in it with NFL media people. And we're going to have Scott Barrett on for Fantasy Points today at 9 o'clock. Scott runs one of the biggest sites, fantasy sites there are at Fantasy Points. And he's going to join us at 9 o'clock, and we'll talk to him about that. Because it used to be, you know, double running back was – your strategy was always get running back. Your first two picks need to be running backs, and then you worry wide receiver. Then as PPR got bigger, people started realizing and more teams started going to more committee approaches with running backs. It swung – to you got to get wide receivers. It's PPR, and then you can get one good running back, you know, one clear starter, and then you can kind of wait because you've got committee approaches and things like that. This year, it feels like it's going to be back to. Well, I can tell you this: I experienced it. Once you get past a certain running back, it falls in a gutter. But unless like Jonathan Brooks, you're gonna have to hope that Jonathan Brooks stays healthy for Carolina. It's not you know, Woody Marks you'll be able to get late. I think it's still safe to go get the very biggest and best wide receivers. Yeah. But this year, running back seems to be making a little bit of a comeback early in the drafts.
Well, six of the top 10 should be wide receiver. Six of the top 10. Jamar Chase for sure, Puka for sure, Smith and Jigba, Amonra, CeeDee, and Justin Jefferson. They should be in your top 10 to 12.
Yeah.
It should.
Justin's just a little scary.
Justin's a little scary, but I just saw yesterday, he said, that I ain't wide receiver one, I'm going to show him this year.
No,
he's got
talent.
Kyler, too, which is much better than J.J. Much better than J.J.
Right, but J.J. wasn't the guy all year.
That's why he fell off quite a bit.
Let's see if Kyler – don't forget, Kyler sometimes has injury issues. Like, Justin's a scary one because of his quarterback a little bit. The guy that I'm really interested in is Terry McLaurin with Jaden Daniels back. Like, I'm waiting to see what Jaden Daniels does, but
– if he stays back. That's one scarier than Kyler, I think.
Right, that's one.
He's got
also
no line. I mean – hey, yeah, that's something.
We'll talk to Scott about some of these boom bust guys. That's one of the things we'll focus on, is boom bust. But like I said, Fantasy Points.
There's a run around 11, 10, 11, 12. That's going to be Ashton Jeanty.
Kenneth about
Walker, Chase Brown, Omarion Hampton.
These are
A-chan.
There's a lot of risky ones here. Like, let me ask you. Why I'm on board with the Jeanty thing too, and I'm trying to. I'm asking myself why exactly.
I don't want
him. I'm a very big fan of his, But I'm looking at his offensive line. I did research yesterday, well, for an article I have coming up. And Colton Miller, he gets his left tackle back. Colton Miller got hurt last year. He gets his right guard back, Jackson Powers Booth, who missed the last, like, six games of the year. But he was there for the first 10, and it wasn't good for, you know, he averaged under 4 yards a carry. They did get Tyler Linderbaum, big upgrade at center. Left guard is Spencer Burford, who's fighting for space. Like, he's just aight. And DJ Glaze at right tackle, just all right. Like, there's no guarantee. It should be better, but are we really jumping in head first with Ashton Jeanty, even as talented
I think he's the scariest first round pick.
I think it's really scary boom bust still. Yep. And I liked him. I was ready to be all in, and the more I keep looking at the offensive line, I'm trying to think, man, I just don't know if the guard-to-guard play is going to be. I know,
you know who else
is
scary is Kenneth Walker.
I think he is, too. You know, he just got banged up a little bit yesterday,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and you know who else got banged up a little bit? It's Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase had a hyperextended knee. We did that on – I was on NFL. What's
that
the
looked
new
bad.
Show? It's called – there's a new show I'm going to be part of, like, once a week. And I was on the – uh-oh.
No, it's your breaking
news. Oh, yeah, breaking news. I'll be part of a show with Andrew Siciliano. And I was on yesterday, and they showed a video of the hyperextended knee, and it was scary for a little bit.
Yeah.
But he said it'll be fine, but it was
they saw
it
was he a had bit an scary. Interview afterwards. He said he was fine. He said he was fine. But that I'm high on Jamar Chase this year, but after that I was like, oh crap. And Puka to me is a little bit scary in that he's just a nut job, and
he could say or do anything that could yeah. the league has to step in on him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but he's gonna catch a ton.
Yeah. Every you know what?
Like Jackson Smith and Jigba is super safe.
I think CeeDee's going to have another big year. I like CeeDee a lot.
You do? What about Pick?
Huh?
There's some people who think Pickens is going to have a bigger year than CeeDee.
Give me both. Okay. I'll take both.
Well, I mean, you got T. Higgins.
You can get, it's not like you
T.
can't
Higgins,
get both.
Devontae Adams, those three teams, you're good either one. Like, it feels safe. Devontae, Puka, Pickens. CeeDee Lamb and then T. Higgins or Jamar Chase, you feel pretty safe.
If you got both of them.
Well.
I'm not. And listen, I saw a study that said anybody who thinks you can't have two guys on the same team, that's dumb.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if it's running back and wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Two wide receivers.
Well, Chase Brown. Give me Chase Brown and Jamar Chase right now. And I'll take
Yeah, you got to get away. Like, I got a bad problem with keep maintaining bias. And so, I've been chasing, like, Chase Brown, I don't know, Tony Pollard, Tony Pollard's just, all he does is get 1,000 yards and get a ton of touches every year.
Tony Pollard's been huge. All right, time to talk about a little bit about, where are we going? Me, Dell, Lance, we're all going to go to Golden Nugget.
And Sean.
And Sean Mapes, and we're all going to dinner tonight. Well, we're going to have Coors Light.
All four of us, that's right. We'll let your hand go also.
The four of us, yep. And we're all going to go. Stead. We're going to have a big time. We're going to be drinking Coors Lights. We're going to stay at a beautiful hotel. I'm telling you, this hotel, when you go there, it's like it's new. And it's been around for a little while. But I'm telling you, those people, they really take care of the hotel. It is like every room, it's still new. It's great. The hotel is great. 12 restaurants. You can go as expensive or as cheap as you want to go. You want to get a sandwich, a salad, whatever. Or do you want to get the as good a steak as you're going to find? You got that. You got the pool, which is a party, okay? It's hot out there. The drinks are flowing, and the bikinis are out there. It's awesome. Get you a cabana out there. You got the golf course, which is great. It's really a fun golf course. There's nothing about this place we don't love. And we're going to watch football now. So it doesn't get any better than the DraftKings Sportsbook during a football weekend. If you're looking for a great little getaway, just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road, you don't have to spend you got all the amenities of Vegas, just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. GoldenNugget.com/Lake Charles. Get there, baby, this football season.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Acknowledge.
What?
You not know? You not know?
Oh, she died.
Yeah, Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton, who was, you know, my... My wife got to be a huge Dolly Parton fan. I think they went to, what's her little play? I think she went to Dollyland or Dollywood or whatever it's called. I think she went there. But Dolly was, she was beloved by tons of different communities. Black community, gay and lesbian community, country music, guys who like knockers. Just, and that's not my, that's what John said during
that's
the break.
That's a community?
He said that during the break, quote unquote.
Did you say that during the break?
What did I say?
You should pay attention. You know what you say.
Yakubu
said that.
I got this going
no,
on
No, he
right
didn't.
Now. Okay, so.
I can't tell what's going on with your video. Oh, somebody's house is on fire.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
See?
Nope.
That's why I was just saying.
I can't. You got to take your timeline off. Your timeline is a disgrace. I mean,
anyway.
You have really, it is a real
anyway,
indication.
Anyway, what did you say about Dolly?
Of you. She passed away, but there's lots of groups of people who loved her. Like, she was beloved.
Yeah.
Dolly was absolutely beloved, and she was funny. I got a Dolly Parton, not yesterday, like a couple weeks ago. I got in a rabbit hole on, I don't even know how. I don't know if it was from social media or whatever. And gosh, she was really funny.
Yeah.
Like really, really funny. I went and saw, as a kid, I went and saw 9 to 5, I think 4 times in a movie theater.
You did?
I love 9 to 5. I don't know why. I just, and that's back when you had to just, you know, you got to, it must have been a PG movie. But yeah, I went and saw it 4 times in the theater.
Hmm.
I don't
that's
even know how I got there. My
strange,
mom
strange as a young person?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Dolly
Dabney
Parton
Coleman.
Dabney Coleman, Dolly Parton, Lily Tomlin, and Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weird.
It was, I know. I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. I know. I want to see Raquel Welch.
You were cheering for Dabney Coleman in that movie.
I was.
Yeah.
put them straight, Dabney.
I bet you Dell, the 70-year-old, has seen that. I bet you've seen 9 to 5, Dell.
I don't think so.
Okay. You don't think?
I know the names you're mentioning. I recognize those names, but I don't think I've seen that.
They all worked in an office. They were, some were
look
secretaries.
Look who's about to lie again.
Some were secretaries.
Are you talking about me or this movie?
No, in the movie.
Okay.
They were all secretaries, and Dabney Coleman was a crappy boss, and he was, and so they.
They had to tie him up.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they were going to
tie him up.
Yeah, they tied him up. And
I think they actually, I can't remember the entire thing, but yeah, I just remember the garage door opener.
Yeah.
Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, mm-hmm. Dolly Parton, and good old Dabney.
Dabney Coleman, yep. He was the villain.
I've never seen anyone named Dabney since then.
I've never met a Dabney.
In college football, in draft, in basketball, in baseball. It's never been Dabney Evans. Male or female, I've never
Dabney
seen another
Prescott?
Dabney. Wait, wasn't Dabney the
no,
name
it's
of...
Dabney.
Yeah, Dakota,
wait,
even.
Dabney was... Wasn't that one of the people from Scooby-Doo?
Daphne.
Daphne, that's right.
What's wrong?
Yeah,
Velma,
no Dabneys. That's
Velma
right, you're
Daphne.
Right.
No. Yeah, no Dabneys.
Yeah, no Dabney.
If your name is Dabney, give us a call.
No calls.
I just said famous Dabneys. And besides Dabney Coleman, I guess Dabney Montgomery was a World War II veteran. But
what?
So... That's it.
So that was 85 years. That's 80
yeah.
plus
he was,
years ago.
He was born 9 years before Dabney Coleman, 1923 for Dabney Montgomery.
There is an expensive restaurant called the Dabney in Washington.
Yeah.
It's not a name you're going to see going forward.
No, that's not.
Wait a minute.
Maybe we should change that. Del, when you have a kid, name him Dabney.
Wait a minute.
Dabney Olale. No.
Yeah.
Not a
here
chance.
Here in Houston, Texas... Oh, hold on a second.
What would you name your kid? What's a cool name for?
Varys?
No, I'm going to name my kid after someone who got his guillons, as John would say, cut off.
No, but he didn't start that way.
Yeah,
no, he didn't start that way, but it happened.
That's how we found out about him. I'm not going to do that. It would probably be something literary. Somehow.
John?
No.
Charles
no,
well,
no,
Lance?
No.
No, this has got to be Dabney as the first name.
Out of a book I love, probably. That's probably
Dabney
where I go.
Dabney is the first name, yeah.
Yeah. Dabney Olaleye.
No.
That sounds good.
I'm not naming a kid Dabney. I'm not starting that trend.
Danny Kelly?
No, I'm not naming the troubled Irishman from Furious. I'm not naming my kid after that.
That's very specific. I should.
Yeah, that's pretty specific. And only I get the reference. I watched it last night.
What a terrible,
Furious?
Yeah.
What a terrible accent he's got. Like, I don't know what he's going for.
I don't know.
Boston, obviously. Scoot
whatever his last name is. McNary.
You know, he's like 48 and he looks... And his skin looks 61.
Well, he's looked like that
since
the first time I saw him in a movie. He's always looked like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else has he been in?
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
He was in Narcos, wasn't he?
Yeah, Narcos.
He was a big one in Narcos.
Yeah, he was in Narcos. All right, but he's always the same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776.
He's from,
he's
from Dallas, by the way.
U.S.?
He's from Dallas.
So John has to
When you hear him talk, I could think, oh, I bet he's from Australia. He's like, no, he's from Dallas.
Dallas? Same thing.
Born in Dallas.
Time to talk right now about Champion Energy. They're from here. They're right on the Hardy Toll Road. Love Champion Energy. Love what Champion Energy done for me. You will love what Champion Energy will do for you. It was a good an electricity experience as I've ever had. And it lasted. We just broke up recently because we moved out of Texas. Otherwise, I'd still be with... I would have never left. I would have never left Champion Energy. And I wish Champion Energy was in California, but it's not. Champion Energy is here. We're lucky to have them, and you are lucky to have them too. All you got to do is sign up, okay? I don't know what your provider is. I know mine saved me thousands upon thousands of dollars when I was with them. You got to get you some Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.